Hey, thanks, Rachel, and thank you again for being here. We kicked off a series last week where Pastor Bobby started on a series entitled Beyond the Norm. He talked about how we can be receptacles of peace, and peace can reside in us, but that peace not only resides in us, but we are supposed to be conduits of that peace where we change our world by conveying that. And today I want to take it to another level as we talk about beyond the norm. And you notice that last week, and some of you this week, picked up these little bracelets that just have these mathematics symbols on them. And Gene, these are not to remind us that we're supposed to do arithmetic. They really are a reminder about a spiritual lesson that we find in the Gospels. And today I want to unpack that in John chapter 10. But before I do that, I want to remind you of what happened in John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, you don't have to look it up, but Jesus is walking with his disciples and he sees a man who's been blind from birth. And the disciples have an interesting question for Jesus. The disciples' question is, hey, Jesus, is that guy's affliction, is his blindness, is it because of his sin or because of his parents' sin? Now, that's a good question, right? Because it brings up the concept of reciprocity. Was it something they did that caused this affliction, this challenge in his life? Now, here's something that's really important for all of us to wrap our head around. Every time in the scriptures that we see a physical healing, there is inside of that the need for spiritual healing and a spiritual lesson. Now, watch, it goes one further. Every time we see a lesson that Jesus is teaching about a physical healing, there is some connectivity to what our soul needs as well. So what we see in this man is, yes, he is physically blind, and yes, in a moment, Jesus physically heals his blindness, but what is the greater story? The greater story is he is both spiritually blind and physically blind, and many of us in this room are simply spiritually blind, but in the same way that Jesus heals him, he desires to heal us. If you're with me, nod your head. You got it? Okay, so we want to move then to chapter 10, where in the verse 1, this is Jesus' words. Jesus is saying, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Now watch this. If you're a shepherd in that day, then you would gather your sheep in the evening and you would most likely kind of pin them into a cave, or you would find rocks and bramble bush or something to create a bit of a sheepfold, which is basically a fence that you would keep your sheep in. And then as a shepherd, you would try to guard them from wild animals and thieves that would come and take your livelihood. Now watch this. This is another deep spiritual lesson that will help us understand this, because in a minute, you're going to hear the disciples say, I don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. And I think most of us don't know what Jesus is talking about as well. So for us to understand this a little bit more, let's take it a little deeper. Let's recognize that you and I are the sheep in the story. Jesus is the shepherd, right? You got that? So if we're the sheep, then according to Jesus, he says, I tell you the truth, which if Jesus had come from Hayhira, Georgia, what that would have said was, hey, y'all need to listen up, all right? Because that's what I tell you the truth means. Jesus saying, hey, I need y'all to listen up. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate, they are a thief and they are a robber, but the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, why is that important? Because if you didn't have a gate, which most of the time they didn't, a shepherd would create anything makeshift, and in that gate where he would bring those sheep in and bring those sheep out, if he didn't have a gate, he would lay down and sleep as that gate, which means he would keep the bad from coming in and the good from leaving, right? So here we go. Let's keep going to verse 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Now watch this. Here's what Jesus is saying. If we are the sheep, he doesn't say, hey, all you sheep. What he does is he calls you by name. He says, hey, Rick, right? He calls by name. Hey, Rick. Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Carla. Hey, Jenny. Hey, Gene. He calls us by name. And the reason that's important is that while Jesus is about this universal saving of the world, he does it individually. You see, this is the beauty of what Jesus has done for us. That yes, he is the Savior of the world, but when you decide that you want to trust Jesus with your life and you step into his sheepfold, he now protects, guards, and guides you. He calls you by your name and knows you, and then you know his voice, so you know where you're supposed to follow and where you're supposed to go. The story goes on in verse 6. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. And I'm like, duh, I get it. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. There it is again. Hey, y'all, listen. I am the gate for the sheep. So Jesus is saying, when you come into his sheepfold, meaning when you trust Jesus with your life to the degree that he can deal with whatever you've dealt with in the past. I mean, I had one of those weeks where if I had to do like two of these weeks in a row, I'd go sell cars for a living. Are you with me? Some of y'all had that week too. And the fact is, I don't know that selling cars would be any better, but I'm just saying the challenge here is this. If we believe Jesus, the name of Jesus really does overcome, like that last song that we sang, then what we really have to believe is that when he guards our gate, he can keep evil from getting in and he can keep good for us. Like when he stops and heals that blind beggar and the disciples want to know, well, wait a minute, was it because he did something wrong? And Jesus says, not how it works. God has allowed that person that anguish so that when God steps into his life, it is for that person's good and for God's glory. Now watch this. When you allow Jesus to kneel down in front of you and give you his strength, his power, and his spirit, then what happens in our life is that we come into his sheepfold, and in that sheepfold, he becomes the gate for our life, and it is both good for us and gives him glory. The problem with many of us is that we stay outside the sheepfold. And as long as we're outside, we're with thieves and robbers. But true sheep don't listen to thieves and robbers. You say, well, I don't get it, Chuck. I mean, well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that in our world, we have people that want to steal our joy, that want to steal what our presence of Christ truly is. Listen, Satan has a job in this world, y'all. Satan's job in this world is to rob you of peace, rob you of joy, rob you of hope, and leave you helpless. That's Satan's job. Now, it's just like a lure up at Lake Lanier. You throw a lure in, you're trying to catch a largemouth bass. What do? Do you throw something in there that a largemouth bass doesn't like? No, you throw something in there that largemouth bass is looking there. I mean, he's sitting there watching bass TV, and the lure comes by, and he looks over at his bass wife, and he says, wow, baby, look at that. And she's, yeah, it's not that big a deal, you know. I mean, just come on, let's watch Yellowstone. And he says, no, baby, look, that's, whew. And the next thing you know, he's chasing the lure. And then when he sees that lure, it gets shiny enough, what does that bass do? Har! And you know what the fisherman does? Woo! And they call it ripping and gripping. You know why? Because there's a difference. Even though it's the same shape, a shepherd's crook allows me to reach down to Pastor Ohm and gently pull him where he needs to go. But if he bites that fish hook, there's a barb in it, and it grabs hold of him and has him like this. You see, the difference is, do you want to be gently guided, or do you want to bite the bait and take it in the lip and leave a scar? You see, Jesus says, you don't have to do that. He says, I'm the gate. And those who come in through me will be, do you see that next word? Will be saved. Saved from what? From the thieves and robbers of this world. You say, well, what could they possibly take from me? Well, if you allow them and you never choose to walk in the sheepfold, they might take heaven from you. They will take your joy from you. They will take the abundant life that Jesus has for you. Because those who come in through the gate not only saved, they'll come and go freely and find good pastures. Now watch this. Here's the key verse of the day. The thief's purpose. Now who is the thief? Satan. But where does he do his work? Outside the sheepfold. How does he do that? Because he can't get in. Because listen to me. I want you to get this. Satan has power, but Satan has no authority. Did you hear me? Satan has power, but Satan has no authority. The one who holds the sheep in the pen and is the gate, Jesus and Jesus alone, has all power, has all authority, has all dominion, is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one you run to, the strong tower, and he will not let you be stolen from, killed, or destroyed. Why? Because his purpose is the exact opposite of what Satan's is. His purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. Now, some of you are saying, Chuck, if Jesus came to give me a rich life, he missed. I mean, my car barely got here. I can't pay my bills. My job stinks. I mean, good night. Now, watch this. Rich isn't a monetary tone here. In the Aramaic in which Jesus would have been speaking, rich would have sounded like this. When I finish my blessing at the end of every sermon, what do I say? Let Jesus go before you and make a way and make your crooked path straight. Then the next part is where this comes in. Let him go within you and bring you peace and joy, fulfillment and contentment. That's what a rich life is. And then he goes and doubles down and says, I'm not just going to give you those things. I'm going to make those things satisfying to your soul. Now, I don't know about you, man, but I don't need a robber and a thief and a destroyer in my life. I don't need a minus symbol. I don't need a division symbol. I need plus and times. I mean, I need something to happen. So I want to remind you here that we are the sheep, and we get into this sheep pen. You like my drawing? I mean, I think Zach laughed at it all week. And so you put the sheep inside of here. The problem is often the shepherd didn't have the ability to have something quite that neat, all right? Now watch, we get in there, and how do you get in the sheepfold? You get in the sheepfold by asking Jesus to step into your life. You say, well, Chuck, what does that mean? Like, preachers say that kind of stuff all the time, but what does that mean? So when you ask Jesus to come into your life, watch this. You were born just like Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve messed up the whole deal, right? Sin enters the world. They did the one thing God asked them not to. Sin's been in the world ever since. You say, but I'm a good person. I bet you are. But in the midst of that, I think we'd all agree we're not perfect. I mean, if I said, who's perfect in this room, stand up, you'd blow it because you'd be lying, right? So we agree all of us are not perfect. Well, the Bible says that if that's true and we're all sinners, then why did he come? Because if we all need grace and we all need forgiveness to have this right relationship with God, then Jesus came for everybody. There's plenty of room in the sheepfold for everybody. But he loves you so much, he lets you choose whether you get in or not. So this is one of the things I love most about Jesus is he's not here saying this is I'm going to make you do this. He's saying I'm going to let you choose to do this, right? So as he lets us choose to do this, then the scripture says that what he does is he calls us by name. So Jesus, like a megaphone, says, hey, Abby, hey, Steve, hey, Bobby, hey, Carrie, hey, Bill, I'm calling you by name. Like whatever your name is, Jesus pushes you to the top of the list. You say, how does he do that? I don't know. I just know in his supernatural God ability, he makes you the most important thing in the world right now, and he calls you by name. Now watch this. Then he says, I want to protect you and guard you, so when you claim my name, I'm going to recognize you before God the Father. Now watch this. The Bible says that if you will acknowledge Jesus, that he died for you, that he rose from the grave to pay for your sin, if you'll acknowledge that and call on his name, he will acknowledge you before God the Father. In other words, Jesus is the bridge from the mess that we're in now in this world filled with robbers and thieves that want to destroy, and he wants to bring us into his sheepfold that we might experience life in abundance and life eternal. You say, so if I give my life to Jesus, all my problems are going away. No. That's not how it works, right? You're still going to have problems. Why? Remember the blind guy? Why would Jesus allow that? Did they do something wrong? No. What they're going to do is they're going to wait and let God do a work in you. And over the course of time, watch how God works in your life. You say, well, Chuck, I don't want to give up drinking. I don't want to give up smoking. I don't want to give up cussing. Whatever it is you're worried about, right? And all I would say to you is this, you've got the order wrong. It's like Jesus told the disciples, this is not what the deal is about. Jesus didn't come and say, you get your junk in order, and then you can come in the sheepfold. See, that's religion. Religion says you got to get all your junk right, and then Jesus will accept you. Well, here's the problem. You're never going to be done with your junk, ever. I'm never going to be done with my junk. Listen, I got more junk than anybody I know. I mean, I'm as whacked out as any human I've ever met. I'm as sinful, and I've got more pride than anybody I know. You say, well, how does Satan attack us and become robbers and thieves? Because he makes us believe it's all about us. But we didn't come here today because of us. We came here because of him. We didn't come to worship because we liked that song. Like, we didn't come today and say, ooh, they're doing Oceans. I'm coming today. Right? I mean, that's why you go to a concert, not why you come to worship. Right? But watch this. Jesus said, but when you call on my name, I'll become the gate in your life. I will guard you. I'll protect you. And I'll give you life that is rich and satisfying in abundance now in heaven for the future. Well, that sounds pretty powerful. But you see, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, it doesn't take much to figure out, how does Satan attack you to steal, kill, and destroy? Well, for some of you, he attacks you with your health. For some of you, he attacks you with your pride. For some of you, he attacks you with your ego. For some of you, he attacks you with addiction. For some of you, he attacks you because you're cheating on your spouse. For some of you, it's because you're not treating your children well. For some of you, it's because you're not obeying the Lord and what he would have you do. And you say, well, Chuck, that's a big, widespread. You doggone right, because we're weird, aren't we? We all got our junk. But Jesus says, I'll deal with your junk. Don't clean it up. Just come to me and leave it with me. This is what I love about Jesus. If I had to wait until I got my junk right before Jesus would accept me, I'd never get in the sheepfold, ever. You know why? I don't deserve it. And let me just share this with you. You don't either. But in Jesus' eyes, you are worthy of living in the sheepfold, and all you got to do is call on his name. You say, well, then Chuck, if you could get past all that preacher talk and tell me exactly how to call on his name, I'd do it. All right, so let Chuck the preacher sit down and let Chuck just the regular dude talk for a minute. You ready? Jesus, I've made some mess of my life. I've made some stupid decisions. Would you forgive me? And you know what Jesus says? Yeah. Do you mean it? Yeah. Then you're in. You say, okay, is there more? Yeah. Jesus, thank you that you died for me and you rose from the dead to pay for my sin. You say, well, Chuck, I believe that. Okay, then tell Jesus that. And Jesus is like, you mean it? Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then you say, well, Jesus, I want you to come live in my life. How do you do that? And Jesus said, I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Boom, you got it. Wait a minute, it's free? I don't have to give up my junk? No. You let him worry about your junk. Well, but I got addiction problems. He knows. He still says, come on, I got it. I'll deal with that. Well, is it going to happen instantaneously? Probably not. You know, God works inside of us over time because he loves to see us take one step forward every day. And you know, we're not going to be super Christians. None of us are. I mean, listen, I'm failing miserably. His goal is to be a super Christian. You know, what Jesus calls us to is something radically different than trying to play like you're a super Christian or be really religious or being pious. I mean, listen, the number one reason people don't come to church is because they've been one time. And they got treated like garbage, and they got shouted at and screamed at for how bad they are. And listen, if you're here trying to figure out your pronouns, welcome home. If you're gay, bi, lesbian, trans, and you're here today, welcome home. You say, Chuck, that doesn't sound like something. I'll promise you, if Jesus were here, he would hug you and welcome you home because he doesn't care about your junk. He cares about you. Amen. I use that dude sitting right over there with the sleeveless shirt on. I was preaching in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. You believe me, a Georgia fan was preaching in Tuscaloosa, Alabama last month. By the way, I did finish up and say, go in peace and go dogs. But I just wanted to share the love. And I used you as an illustration. I said, this dude shows up at church, and I don't know what those rhinestone stud things you got are called, but they're super cool. I mean, I don't think I could do it because they kind of scare me just a little bit. And I said, people were looking at that cat like, is that kind of dude that ought to be in church? He's like, you doggone right. Welcome home. earlier today, you know where he was at? He was at the front door welcoming people, saying, welcome home. Yep. You know what I'd say? You doggone right. Come on. Come on. There's room in the sheepfold for everybody. And he doesn't care how your junk looks to everybody because he sees past it and sees you. Don't let the thief steal, kill, and destroy all that God has for you because he wants to give you a rich and satisfying life. You see, the thief will rob you of your joy, your peace, and your love. And Jesus comes along and says, I want to give you all these things and more. This is the biggest no-brainer of no-brainers in all of history. Do I want Jesus' best? And you say, well, you know, I'm just not sure. I kind of like that my life stinks, really. I mean, I like being miserable. I like feeling like there's no hope for me tomorrow. And you know what I'd say? Oh, come on, seriously. No, not when you can walk in the gate and he welcomes you and calls you by name and says, come on in, because you can choose to go beyond the norm. You can say, yes, I want you to add the abundant life to my life. No, I do not want the thief to kill and rob and destroy. Yes, I want to be multiplied and share all that Jesus has done in my life. If you went to Hendrick Chevrolet and bought a Corvette tomorrow for $5,000 cash, brand new, you know what you'd be saying? On Facebook, it'd be... I know y'all. It'd be like this. Duck lips and peace signs with the red Corvette, right? Woo! Look what I got! Yeah! Yeah, and some of y'all have been saved for 20 years, and you never did duck lips and peace signs for Jesus one time. And you say, well, Chuck, now you're messing with me. I promise you, I'm not the one messing. And I'm going to say no to letting Satan divide me and my family. I'm not going to let him divide up my marriage. I'm not going to let him divide up my business. I'm not going to let him divide up my church. Because, you see, you can choose. You can choose. If this is you, you can choose Jesus right now. And when you do, you can get on a microphone and not only hear the voice of Jesus, but you can get on your own microphone and share Jesus with this world. I just think to myself, I mean, I know there are people watching right now, and people in here right now would say, well, you know, Chuck, really, I don't need to go share Jesus with anybody. That's just your, we pay you to do that. Well, according to scriptures, you do not pay me to do that. You pay me to equip you to do that. And thus far in 12 years, I have failed miserably at accomplishing that task. But as of right now, we're going to fix that. Did you know on average, 3% of your adult and student attendance, average attendance, over the course of a year, 3% of those people will attempt to share Jesus with one person over the course of an entire year. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. So if you got 1,700 people here on a Sunday, 3% of that. That's not that many people. Like, somebody do the math real quick. Does it sound like 51? Maybe so. Gene, you got to help me here. You're in education. I mean, 41 years, girl. Come on, don't leave me hanging. So, let's say it's 51. You know what I would say? If we actually had 51 people that attempted to share Jesus over the course of this year, you wouldn't help but baptize at least half of those people. By accident, God would do a work. Because you see, watch this. It's not you. You don't save anybody. You don't change anybody. You don't heal anybody. You don't repair anybody. You don't forgive anybody. You don't change their life. You don't give them heaven. All you do is give them Jesus, and he does all the rest. But you see, the challenge is, there's three reasons I read this week why American Christians do not ever share their faith. You ready? The number one reason is, we're afraid of rejection. Hold on. Wah. Seriously. It's not on you. If they blow you off, it's not on you. Jesus never said, hey, here's your job, Carla. Go save the world. Because if that's the job, you're toast. He said, Carla, go tell the world about me and let me do the heavy lifting. You say, but Chuck, I don't like to be rejected. I'm a bit of an introvert. And I, you know, I like to keep my faith. It's kind of private to me. Are you serious? You will post on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter your dinner but your faith is private? You take a picture of your closet when you clean it out. You literally take a picture of what you're wearing in the mirror. I see y'all out there at the gym. What do? You got your headphones on, you're in the mirror, and you're doing this. But you got nothing for Jesus? And you say, Chuck, I don't like it when you fuss at us. I promise you, I'm not fussing. I'm trying to motivate you to see this one thing. Watch what happens. In John chapter 14, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except me. So watch this. Jesus is both exclusive and inclusive. Exclusive in that he's the only way to God the Father. Inclusive that anybody can come in the sheepfold. Are you with me? But he says there's no options here, right? But then, watch this. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, for God was in Christ. Now watch this. God the Father, creator and sustainer, was in Jesus Christ, Son and Savior, reconciling the world to himself. Well, why? Because God is perfect, we are not. In his perfection, he cannot let imperfection step into heaven with him. You say, well, Chuck, I'm totally messed up then. There's no way that's going to happen in my life. Well, but what if Jesus come along? Look at the rest of it. No longer counting people's sins against them. Now, this is good news. It's like Jesus came along and said, I'm going to give you a respite from sin. I get to wipe it out, and I'm going to take you on. Now you say, all my problems are going away. No, that's not how it works. Right? That dude Murdaugh that got convicted recently in South Carolina, you realize he's one prayer away from being your heavenly neighbor, right? You say, well, wait a minute, Chuck, when I get to heaven, is he going to kill me too? No, because in heaven there's no grief, there's no sorrow, there's no pain. Now watch this. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Reconciliation what? With the world, with God. So we are, watch this, Christ's ambassadors. You, if you know Jesus, you are his ambassador. You know what an ambassador does? It represents their kingdom. When we have a U.S. ambassador over somewhere, let's just say Pakistan, then what do? They represent the U.S. there. When we are Christ's ambassadors, we represent Jesus. Where? Wherever we go. Now, sometimes we don't do that really well. Like the number one reason, like the second reason why people don't share their faith is they don't want to be thought of as a hypocrite. Well, what if they find me out? They're going to know that I'm not really all that. I mean, I'm going to preach Jesus, but then I don't really live Jesus. Okay, can we just get rid of that fallacy by saying we're all hypocrites? I mean, this church right now, folks online right now, we are filled with hypocrites. Like, I love it when people say, well, I just don't go to church because I don't like all those hypocrites. Well, you're not going to find one that doesn't have them. Like, you find a church without hypocrites, you're going to join it and screw it up. So you look at this and you think, well, if we're Christ's ambassadors, why? Because God is making his appeal through us. He's saying, I want the world to know about me because of my folks, my sheep who are in my sheepfold. I'm going to open the gate. I'm going to let them get in the world because I'm going to protect them and guard them no matter where they're at because they're under my care. But I want them to go be my ambassador, and I want them to share this wonderful appeal of the gospel. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. You say, but Chuck, it sounds so simple when you put it that way. It is that simple. It's not give up alcohol. It's not give up whatever you do. It's not clean up your junk. It's just come back to God. And by the way, once again, it's not on you. You save nobody. By the way, the church saves nobody. The pastor saves nobody. The deacons save nobody. Religion saves nobody. Just Jesus. Jesus and Jesus alone. Come back to God. But now watch this in Acts 1:8. But you, back to the sheep, you will receive power. From where? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. How do I get that guy? Well, when I say yes to Jesus. How do I say yes to Jesus? Jesus, would you forgive me? Would you come live in my life? Be my Lord, be my Savior. I believe you died for me, rose from the dead so that I could have forgiveness of my sins and I could have heaven. I want to turn my life around and live for you, Jesus. You say, well, wait a minute. That's all I got to do, and I get the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said, not me. Right? You don't have to count on me. Don't count on the church. Don't count on a denomination. Count on Jesus. This is what he said. And you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, Sugar Hill. Throughout Judea, Buford, Suwanee, Cumming, Gainesville. And in Samaria, Gwinnett County. And to the ends of the earth, Braselton. Or maybe Uvalde. Maybe the middle of the Yucatan. Maybe where you're in school. Maybe where you work. Maybe in your home. Maybe at your next community gathering. So I'm going to invite you right now as we get ready to close today. Maybe today you want to say, Jesus, I want to settle that in my heart. And I want the gift of the Holy Spirit, but what I really want is Him to take my junk. And I'm not ready to give up stuff, but I do need Jesus. I need to settle this. I need Him in my life because I want to be sure for heaven. And I want this abundant life that the sheep receive from the shepherd. Then if you do, that prayer I've said three times now is yours. And I want you to say it with me right now. If you want to accept Christ into your life, just say it silently in your heart while I say it. Don't bow your heads. Look around. I want you to look around and see what's happening here. Just say it. Just quietly in your life. Dear Jesus, would you please forgive me? Would you step into my life? It'd give me your peace and your power, a rich and a satisfying life. I believe you died for me. You rose from the dead to pay for my sins. And I want to turn my life around and follow you. Now, if you prayed that prayer today and you meant business with Jesus, Jesus meant business with you. And at the close of our service today, all you folks typically come up and see me. I'm just going to ask you to stop and just sit. I'm going to sit right on the edge here. I had a young guy about 27 come up to me after the 9:15 service. He sat there and he said, I heard you. I don't know what to do now. Super cool black dude. I look down. He's got his fingernails painted black. Good looking dude. He's kind of funky, hip, you know. And I said, man, do you want Jesus in your life? He said, I need him. We sat right there, and he prayed that prayer with me, sitting right there on that stoop. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world. I'm not going to ask you to stand, raise your hand, walk an aisle, and that stuff. I'm going to say at the end of the service, y'all need to see me for something. Wait, but let people come meet Jesus sitting on the corner. I'll sit here, Bobby will sit there, and we'll just welcome Jesus into you, all right? But now there's some of you in here. You get to choose, because we do have two groups of people. We got folks that need Jesus, and we got people that need to share Jesus. Some of y'all have known Jesus for 30 years and you've never told a soul what Jesus meant to you. That's like being on Next Door Neighbor, that silly app where everybody talks about, I saw a fox and somebody ran a stop sign and who was barking at midnight last night. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it's like I tried to watch it, read it, and I'm just like, these people have zero life, whatever. You know, it's like having that and saying, okay, there's robberies happening in our neighborhood left and right, people breaking in our cars, breaking in our houses, and you do nothing to protect yourself, and you do nothing to protect them. I mean, are you willing to let your spouse, your boss, your employees, your best friends, your golfing buddies, are you willing to let those people, let the thief rob them and steal them and destroy their life when they could have a rich and satisfying life? And God's literally put you in their path to be the voice as an ambassador of Christ to tell them about the Lord Jesus. How dare us in our pride, in our fear, say, well, I'm private about that, when we're willing to let people literally die without having a rich and satisfying life and without heaven on their horizon. You say, well, Chuck, I just know that I can do it. I'm going to invite you next Sunday at 5 o'clock to come join me here at this church. There's going to be no food, no drinks. If you want something to eat, bring it. We're not doing all that junk, right? This is like hardcore, 1 hour and 15 minutes, start to finish, 5 to 6:15. And I'm going to help you know how to share your faith in such a way that you can love people into the kingdom of God. You don't need a tract. You don't need to know F-A-I-T-H. You don't need any gimmicks. All you got to do is care. And I'll help you know how to share your faith. We call that a SEAL team. Strategic evangelism and advanced leadership. You know why? Because this is not for the faint of heart. I mean, if you want to keep living a sissy Christian life and say, mamby-pamby Christian life, just knock yourself out. But this is if you want to go hardcore. You want to go hardcore and just make a difference. Remember, it's not on you. All you got to do is sow seeds. Sugar Hill Seals is a powerful ministry of evangelism tailored specifically for advanced leaders who want to take their spiritual walk to the next level. And I'm going to invite you, men and women, anything from high school up, join me at 5 o'clock. I'll send an email to the church out this week. You can click and register to be a part of it. Remember, no food, no, not sweet time. We're going to hit it at 6, at 5. We're going to get you out at 6:15. Got it? Every 2 weeks, we'll jump on a Zoom call, talk with each other about what God's doing in our life. I'll unpack a little different way about how you can share your faith, and you can be part of this over the next year. And know this, I want to take it to the next level. You get to be a choice, though. You can choose right now, do I need Jesus? And if so, if you prayed that prayer with me or you want to, I'm going to sit right here at the end of the service. Come see me. If you want to be able to be a part of Sugar Hill Seals and sharing your faith and getting out there and doing exactly what Jesus called every believer to do and be equipped to do it where it's not mechanical, it's just out of love. For all the right reasons, come on and join me. We're going to have a great time figuring out how God's going to use us. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for Jean and for her incredible work in our community. I pray you'd bless her in her future endeavors. And Lord, for the incredible legacy she'll leave at White Oak, thank you for the new leaders and thank you for that staff that she has led so well. Lord, bless her richly. Lord, for people right now that are trying to decide, do I need Jesus or not, I pray you would speak in their life right now so powerfully that you would draw them unto yourself. And we would have the courage to just step by for a minute and let me know. Lord, if they don't have time to talk about it today because they got work or something to get to, would they just come by and let me know who they are so I could reach out to them this week? Lord, for folks who are sitting here trying to contemplate, could I actually be one of those seals? Could I actually share Jesus? Lord, would you convince them that this is for anybody and everybody who has stepped into the sheepfold, and you will empower them. It's not their skill, it is your power. Would you give them that certainty and call them to do the work because the fields are white unto harvest. Thank you for the time to be with one another today and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray these things in the rich and powerful name of Jesus our Lord. And everyone said, amen. So would you stand with me for the blessing? As we get ready to leave, Gene, I do this at the end of every service. So in particular, I want to share this with you while you're our guest. May the Lord go before you and make your crooked path straight, because that's what he does. May the Lord go within you and bring you peace and joy, fulfillment and contentment, because he is always good and you are always loved. And when things are difficult, may the Lord come behind you and you'll allow him to pick you up and carry you, not around the difficulty, but right through the middle of it, only to set you down on your 2 feet victoriously, wipe away your tears and kiss you on the forehead and wrap you up in his big loving arms so he can say to you, my child, say it with me, I love you. God bless you guys. I love you. Go in peace.